This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. What a scene it is in here today as John sprays the room a fragrant scent because we had a foul one as we came into the studios today. Now, Leaders Credit Union, our beloved studio sponsor, certainly had nothing to do with that, but the studio did have a distinctly foul smell. John is taking care of that. We've got Drew Hill. I don't want to give away anything early, but he is here, and I sensed his presence. We actually have him in here. It's going to be weird for John and I to talk and us to not include Drew. So, I mean, obviously we are just hours away from the trade deadline. The great Daily Memphian Grizzlies beat writer is here. I will allow John and Drew to work out when we bring him on. Our man, Italian George, is here on the ones and twos. Give yourself a round of applause, George, very quickly. Look at that. Guy's good at his job, and we're happy to have you here. John, coming in late, but you've taken care of business.
Yeah.
You'd gone out there for a very important reason, and that was to get a better scent up in here.
Yeah, it smells absolutely horrible in here, you know, and that look.
But you say Calkins.
It's not currently, you know, it's not,
we can't pin him. Okay, I'm just going to. I'm going to trust you on that.
I don't know what occurred overnight.
It threw me off because I had intended to come in here, you know, celebrating and singing about 2-0, John. Another 2-0 night.
Ain't going to be no singing today.
For the Tigers and for the Grizzlies.
Not in this studio.
You can't when it's this funky up in here.
No, you need to breathe as little as possible.
So, what'd you use? Lysol? What's that scent?
Yeah, it's a Lysol. It's not really a scent.
That's just the regular, isn't it?
But it's not really working. I mean, it's a battle. Lysol, this Lysol is going to be busy today.
We're going to battle through.
Zach Kleiman's going to be busy today, we think, perhaps.
And we think that?
Trying to clean up some of that stench on the end of that bench.
Man, that Lysol is on my throat.
I know, dude, but, you know, you got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, there's no ventilation in here. I think that might be the problem. I don't think our ventilation is working. And so we're going to do our best today here on the show, on a special edition of the show, Trade Deadline Day.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's on the move. He's gone. Golden State.
Yep, that feels old at this point, but you're absolutely right. Since we were last here.
Right.
That is new news.
Yes. So we'll get into that today on the show.
Are they done? You wonder.
Are Golden State. Are the Golden State Warriors done? Yeah.
Surely not.
I don't know. I'll have to call.
Your man Wendy would know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He speculated on that today. We'll get to that. That was a little not as good a tease from me. An attempt.
Yeah. Drew Hill is here. He's going to join us. He's already kind of joining us. We will get to him momentarily, just a little bit, and we'll get a sense of trade deadline day and what he thinks the Grizzlies will or will not do, what the priorities are, you know, and what a move might even look like, right? So we'll get into all of that with Drew Hill as the Grizzlies, of course, polish off yet another one last night, 138-107 against the Toronto Raptors. We're down 29-22. After one, and it was a blistering second half, and another 30-plus point game for one Jaren Jackson Jr.
Lot to like there. Zach Edey, double-double again.
Yeah, that's some encouraging news.
Mm-hmm. Third straight.
Yeah. But the most encouraging news for me is Jaren.
Jaren, and you had Ja.
Yeah.
Still doing Ja things with Jaren still playing, and you wanted to see more of that balance. So a lot to discuss from there, but obviously trade deadline at the forefront of everyone's mind.
Yes.
Do you mess with this?
I mean, there's a lot there that, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Vince last night.
Yeah, Vince
came back. Yes. And doing Vince things. Yeah. I have to contain my excitement about the all of a sudden very deep grizz.
Yeah.
Even deeper, I should say.
We'll get to Drew Hill in just a little bit. Then at 1:30, Alex Simmons, Memphis women's basketball coach, is going to join us sort of to discuss and celebrate, explore, observe International Women's Day, right? Sports Women's Day, or have I botched that completely?
A little bit. You've botched it a little bit. The Memphis Athletic Department and 901 Women, John. They're celebrating National Girls and Women in Sports Day.
It's not International
and
Women's Day.
And before, not at all, not at all. And so we're gonna try to cut that out when we put this back on the podcast and just have me.
Every day is International Women's Day.
And now
we have a round of applause, George, for women around the world? I mean, I think that's the least
to make up for the way John just blew that. You like who was it that blew the Miss America thing? It was
Steve Harvey.
That's what that was.
Not anywhere close to that. I mean, he announced the wrong winner. I just had the wrong holiday.
Basically. International Women's Day, you don't even know what day it is. You blew that. That isn't even what this is.
This is where
I need you to be quiet and you let me introduce her at 1:30 when she comes on. Because I know, because she's having a tough second season, you're not going to have much for her. I'm going to have to really handle that, it feels like.
Right. I'm in my own head at this point.
She won two national titles. Playing for Pat Summitt.
That's right.
It was Pat Summitt's last two titles.
Wow, okay. Good stuff.
So I'm going to give you that bit of info, and you can use that in the interview. How's that?
Yeah, I'm
and you'll have something relevant.
100%.
All right.
Also got the Summitt coming to Nashville, right? That's a cool thing.
Well, you can ask her about it.
I mean, I know it's not Memphis, but,
Is that done? Is that the name of the team? Locked in? For
no,
WNBA?
They're not locked in.
Okay,
but
they got it already.
Well, that would be the name of the team.
Yes.
That would be the name of the team. So, anyway, that's the show today. That's what we've got going on. Looking forward to it. Another 2-0 night, as we predicted boldly on this show before the games began. We said it would be yet another 2-0 night for Hoop City. Remember, we used to go by that way back when. I don't know if we identify as that anymore.
We might be that more than ever right now in terms of the both sides of that.
I know you're more
of a
gridiron city. You know, you think this is a football town. or at least you want it to be. But for now, it's going to be Hoop City. And got the Memphis Grizzlies. Everybody's back, right? Vince Williams is back. Marcus Smart played last night, allegedly.
Except for Desmond Bane.
Except for Desmond Bane, right. But he's been...
But
in terms of the guys that missed
I get why you said that, because it's feeling like that.
Yeah,
now.
The gang's all back,
yes.
Right? And, of course, it might – who knows? Who knows who will be here in 5 hours? We shall see. But the Grizzlies win 138-107. Again, Toronto Raptors, not by any stretch of the imagination, a surprise here. But it is yet another game where Jaren Jackson Jr. takes over offensively, another 30-point game. He's stacking them up now is Jaren. And, it's a reason why if the Grizzlies, I mean, I would like for them, I would like for them to get off of Marcus Smart in some way.
Sure.
I would be a proponent of that in a big way just because of the money. And I think we kind of, maybe the second or third week of the season, I'm almost positive we came on here and we said, yeah, we're out on, the Marcus Smart experience,
I'm interested to ask Drew about that because are you so out on him that if it's just money and just a money move to get that contract off, you wouldn't rather just see him in the playoffs or are you getting an equivalent or decent player, somebody who you expect to play? Because that's the one thing about Marcus Smart with that investment in him, you haven't seen it where you wanted it, which is playoffs, and with this team, that's the one thing that he's got in terms of some of those wings is the experience. So that's the question. I'll be interested to ask Drew that because I know you're all the way out on it. But we'll
never
see
really been in at any
because
point.
It sounds like again, if you're going to move Marcus Smart today, it could very well just be a money dump. Is it
How desperate are the Grizzlies to do that? I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Versus whether or not you want to see him in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean,
he didn't look great last night, but usually Marcus is an old car. He takes a game or two to get warmed up. We know that about him.
Yeah. So Mark Giannotto tweeted today. He likes to still keep an eye on Memphis. He said his take is the Grizzlies shouldn't bail on Marcus Smart until they see how it goes at the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is that thinking out there, and the front office is clearly weighing that. I mean, you invested that Golden State pick in getting him.
Yeah,
there's something there. Otherwise, I mean, but again, do you have a front office that's with Jaren's contract coming up? And again, we'll discuss with Drew, but that's more that is right now. We like what we've got on the wing. Vince looked good last night. Oh, by the way, Jalen Wells been a stud. Again, that's inexperience in the playoffs, but which one you banking on there?
Yeah, I think
that's assuming there isn't some, again, player out there that you get that upgrades you, obviously.
Yeah, look, we don't know the conversations that are being had.
Yeah.
But I would just for the record, I would say that I do not, for some, whatever reason, believe that there would be some turning on of Marcus Smart in the playoffs, some switch that gets flipped. And I don't even trust him at this point to hold up.
It's fair.
So
I mean, it's fair to hold that opinion. Yep.
You could say let's just wait and see. But if you have a way to get off of it, maybe you don't have a way to get off of it. We don't know. Like the reporting today was that they're looking, right? That they're calling teams and they're going to try to, come up with some deal.
Right.
I mean, that is ultimately, the rub.
And again, you brought him back yesterday. I mean, you took a look at him.
It was a showcase. You wanted to see what he could do.
If you had every intention of just dumping him off, you sit him down. There's no need to bring him back.
Unfortunately, it probably hurt his value.
Especially because when Marcus Smart gets back from layoffs, it is usually a bad first night at least.
And it was. 0 points, one assist.
Again, yeah.
Actually, two assists in 18 minutes.
Right.
I don't want to short him there. It's like that. It's like I tweeted. It's like that scene from Wolf of Wall Street. You got to get on the phone and you got to say, John, the reason for the call today, John, is that something just came across my desk. It's the best thing I've seen in perhaps 6 months. The name of the player is Marcus Smart. We have right here a Grand Slam home run former defensive player of the year, John. And right now, John, you can have him for pick some jabroni, right, that matches the money and you can get off of or some picks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say? Oh, my wife's going to kill me. My wife's going to kill me. I can't. No, but you got to do it today, John. Today's the day, John. So that's the call that Zach Kleiman is having today. Again, I don't know. Rob Pelinka tricked Nico Harrison. We're going to need some we're going to need Zach to borrow some tactics to fool a team into taking, Marcus Smart off the Grizzlies' hands here. But if they end up stuck with him, there are worse things. Maybe, he does. Maybe he does end up doing something for you the rest of the season. So I would say it was overall a great night for the Grizzlies as they went on the road in Toronto. And they, 10 of 11 now?
Yes.
10 of 11 are the Grizzlies going to the trade deadline. So there's also that school of thought. It's like, why mess with it? That is fair. I could listen to both schools of thought here. My expectation is like it's probably not going to be an impactful player if they do make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you are on that.
I think I don't know. I mean, the Cam Johnson's not moving. You're not bringing him in here. I'm with Harrington. Cam Johnson doesn't help you defensively.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to still be banking a lot on the other guys. And so from that standpoint, everybody's talked about Cam. The other guys are pretty much moved. We moved Jimmy Butler. You're done there. These other things that we've talked about and now wasted time on. You're done with. So again, if you're moving off the money, that's one thing. But if it's just a money thing right now, and maybe again that can wait until after you see what you've got. Maybe you don't need him.
Right.
To be determined.
Right. So you got that win last night, obviously, and then Memphis basketball. Tigers won again, and I think we're getting into a pretty good rhythm with them. Right. When it comes to the American, double digit favorite. Won't cover the number, gonna underperform, gonna win, gonna drop two spots at KenPom, and on we go. And that's about what happened last night. I thought they might cover, though. There was a minute there, Jason, where it was like, 15?
I mean, Penny took the dudes out at the end.
Right.
Yeah. They were, Tulsa had a couple shots there at the end that, didn't have to go in. They were right there for the cover. The team played well last night. I mean, it just suggests you know, I know you say underperform, and they did in the sense
just
I think Ken Pom had
metrics,
an 18
yeah.
and the metrics and
yeah.
the number, but that team had a season low 8 turnovers last night. I mean, yep. that was as good a game as, you know, especially as clean a game
right.
as we've seen offensively from them all year long. Again, the season low, especially at a time, remember, we were just talking about, what, 3-4 games ago. Boy, this team's turning over 15-plus times a game just about every time out now. This is becoming a problem, and they've really cleaned it up there. Then you get the inside-outside of P.J. Haggerty and Dane Danger. I mean, and that's what you – you know, those are the sorts of things. Those two right there, you just hope that's the rest of the conference season. So long as you've got those two operating at a high level, you know, and usually you can include Tyrese Hunter in there, and he was the other Tiger in double figures, you're going to be good the rest of the way. This is the best start for Memphis in conference play since Josh Pastner's 2013 season where he went undefeated in conference play. You take out that 1 year for Josh, and this is better now for Memphis at 9-1 than anything he did. You got to go back to Cal. And so, again, we've talked about how it's Penny's best start. You're now going back to the last time we've seen a start like this, it was a little bit better. It was Josh going undefeated that 1 year in CUSA where they go 16-0. So you're talking, yeah, they're taking care of business in a way we said, oh, that let's be real. A lot of us were scared going in. This can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking care of business. I realize it's disappointing to be dropping at Ken Pom and those kinds of things, but like I told you guys, they weren't going to give you weren't going to move way up in Ken Pom or at the net beating these teams in the AAC as it is. You know, just focus on where they've got you in seeding now, and if you can keep this 5 is where I really feel like you're going to end up at.
Right.
You know, because like you said, John, there's going to be plenty that want to make you a 6. I mean, bracket matrix and a lot of these folks, and it's the average of all of them, have gotten Memphis a lot lower than a 5, it's, you know, when it's averaging out at a 6.
Right.
So that's the point, is that
it is.
They'll give you a 6 if you, you know, drop one, a couple here maybe. For me, it's about holding on to a 5. Hey, a 4 is real nice.
Right.
You know, 4, if you love that, it's a dream.
Right.
You get that.
So, again, not much else to say.
But that was it. I mean, they played well last night. You know what I'm saying? I know we can say underperform, but that team, it seems to be coming together.
Right.
I mean, and saying they underperformed last night goes against that. Penny's got them playing really well, and I think I'm most encouraged by as they continue, John, to knock down 3 at 42.9%. It's really the cleaning up of turnovers, because remember we said the reason they're letting these AAC teams play, stay so close is because they're giving them, you know, 15, 20 turnovers.
Yep,
it's the other team's best offense. These teams can't score, so they've really done a good job of late cleaning that up.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, keep on trucking. That's the goal.
Well, you owe Temple, so this one should be easy coming up. It's your only loss in conference.
Just don't get distracted by the Super Bowl, right? I mean, you got the Super Bowl
later.
Nobody's
going to be distracted. You got Mashburn over there. You just, you know, it's again, it was your one loss.
Right.
So, this should be easy. No Nick Jourdain going out trying to prove himself. We've learned that lesson.
Yes, exactly.
So,
right.
And then, did you see Penny benched him yesterday?
Yeah, well, maybe you got to do
brought
what you got
to
do.
Brought him back, but I think didn't start him second half.
Got to do what you got to do, man.
Loafing a little bit, I think.
Yeah, don't take it for granted, man. Don't take your spot for granted. We got some other guys, some other options on this team for sure. All right, we're going to come back. Drew Hill's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the trade deadline, moves the Grizz can make, their season, his series with Jaren Jackson Jr., which has been fantastic, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you try to fam? Yes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Welcome back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And I don't know if it's necessarily advisable because it will add sort of just to the heat, right, to the body heat that we're emitting in the studio right now. But we do have a special guest in studio who goes by the name Drew Hill, who's been working real hard this week, has a, what, four-part series? Out on Jaren Jackson Jr., who, I mean, the timing of this could not have been better, coming into his own both on and off the court. Trade deadline day, Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, covers the Grizzlies for Dunk Shoot magazine. You saw your first, was that your first time seeing your byline in it?
I mean, yeah, so that was really cool. I've made a few friends with some of the Japanese media members, and like, I sent those stories out by email, and I had no idea where they were going. Honestly, this entire process with getting stuff over to Japan has been a little bizarre. But, yeah, she came up to me, and she was like, hey, look, I took this photo. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so cool. Like, can you please send that to me? So it's the cover story. Like, I'm the cover story of this
nice,
very popular basketball magazine in Japan. Which, so that was really cool. That's obviously a first. And then I bought it. That's the other. I bought. Guess I want you guys to guess how much I paid to get this Japanese basketball magazine shipped to the United States.
Ooh, then this administration. Then we just banned.
I have a guess.
It's an eBay purchase.
I have a guess. You go first.
It was an eBay purchase for, I would say, $30.
I would say $17.95.
$42.
Wow.
And 99 cents.
And the item itself was probably $4.99.
John's
maybe.
Close.
I mean, I paid an outrageous amount, but I wanted to have it like I just built a desk
awesome
set up at my house. I wanted to be able to frame my work and put it up and have my inspiration, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. I love that. I love that picture. It's like, here is a Japanese magazine in all Japanese, right?
Yep.
And then here's this white-ass dude with the byline.
Who is this guy?
They gotta be. Like,
why is he writing in a... But, like, shout out to whoever translated it. I don't even know who did it. I do. I think it's on the page, but...
You can read your name, your byline on it, right?
Yeah, it says his name.
Yeah, it says
okay.
It's in English. I hadn't seen it. I know you had it out there.
They asked me to...
I was going to say, that has to be in English. Right? Yeah.
Well, it got translated, too. But they asked me to write, like, a bio about myself. And so I, like, you know, did that. And they really badly wanted me to put in there that I'm an Alabama football fan. Like, I guess Alabama must have some fans in Japan, football fans.
But, yeah.
But yeah. Saban had them worldwide.
It was cool. That was, like, one of the true highlights. Like, it's not often you get to do stuff like that. And, you know, shout out to the Daily Memphian, by the way, for letting me do it, because I know I already have.
Well, I think their, you know, sovereignty does kind of, I mean, that's just, right, America, right, Memphis. I don't think their sovereignty extends in their sort of, you know, hold over you extends once you get out of the, you know, continental United States. So, I think, you know, you have to
they're not
have autonomy, right? I mean, I would have a big problem if they tried to keep Drew from writing for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I would riot. I would stand with you, and we'd make sure. Listen, busy day. Obviously, Grizz are playing well, but and look, maybe that's contextual. Maybe that's part of the backdrop here. But it's trade deadline day. I have not seen anything today other than that report that the Grizzlies have been calling teams about Marcus Smart. So, in terms of, you know, your own expectations, educated guesses, do you anticipate this being a busy day for the Grizzlies, a not-so-busy day? Just kind of where are you at 11:30 on trade deadline day?
I think it depends on what you define as busy. Like, yeah, they're going to explore all these options, right? Like, is something going to present itself? I think that's unclear. Of course they're... It wouldn't make sense for them not to be. I mean, Marcus Smart just hasn't played in enough games, right? So, you know, you have to explore trade options, and I suspect that is happening today for the Memphis Grizzlies. As for some of the speculated deals, like the Cam Johnson stuff, it never, I think, really was progressing to maybe the point that people were getting as excited about it, if that makes sense. I think that was a lot of word salad there, but like people were really excited about that potential deal. I don't know if that's necessarily been that close. It doesn't mean something eventually could get done, but I just feel like they're far away on something like that, or they at least were at one point far away on something like that. And so, there's not an obvious one out there. It felt like the Lonzo one might be like the most direct way to get off the salary and bring in an expiring and free up some money. But at the end of the day, Marcus is only on this deal for one more year, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's catastrophic, or, you know, financially to the team if you're not able to get off the deal. And who knows? Like, he has performed better in the playoffs over the course of his career. We don't know if he's going to be available. We don't know what he's going to look like when he gets there. It's been too long since he's played meaningful basketball. But, you know, we can't entirely rule out the possibility that he plays for the Grizzlies and plays well in the playoffs. Like,
yeah,
I think
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
And I certainly understand the thinking of some folks that want to see it.
Hmm.
So I think that's really what this day is going to be centered around for the Grizzlies. The big star trades did not really come to the forefront, or at least, you know, if there is something that's still out there, they've been awfully quiet about it. I think we're going to have, you know, not the most eventful day. We may get something, we may not, but I don't think it's going to be some jaw-dropping thing, at least not from the buzz that I have heard so far.
Well, it's so hard to say, you know, and especially as it relates to the playoffs, just how you feel about the wing situation. Set aside Marcus, because we just saw Vince last night, he just got back. We have seen it all year long from Jalen, but again, are you going to go into the playoffs and start two rookies? I'd ask you, how comfortable at that position are they minus Marcus in a money move?
You mean on the wing?
Yeah, on the wing. At that four playoffs and what's ahead, do you then feel like there's enough there? Are you comfortable with the experience there?
Yeah, I mean, this team is playing really well right now. I think it's a fair question to ask. You know,
would you start Jalen, or is this working towards you're going to get Vince in there by playoff time? Does that even matter at this point? It is starting two rookies.
What happens and Vince plays really well and you
earns
end up doing
it.
That point. But I am pretty comfortable with Jalen Wells. He is not an average rookie. Like this.
Oh, I know.
So
I'm with you there.
He is mature beyond his years. Like he just and the shooting is better than what you're going to get from the other guys, and that's just the
bottom line.
And then with the Edie stuff, like I get that too, but. Fortunately for you, you do have some optionality in the front court, right? Like you don't, even if Zach Edey starts the game, you don't have to finish with Zach Edey in the game. And
we've seen that
a lot, right? So, you know, I'm pretty confident with where this team is right now. I think they're proving, you know, to be one of the best teams in the West. We do have a massive game coming up with Oklahoma City.
Absolutely.
And so that will certainly be a test, and I'm sure everyone will overreact to it entirely, whether the Grizzlies win or lose. We'll either say, you know, this team's
and
ready to
probably.
Compete for a championship, yeah. or we'll say, dang it, they should have done something. Like that's just the nature of this. That's the way that this goes.
Right.
But I think that the lesson, especially the last two games, and this is the biggest development of the season so far for the Grizzlies, is when Ja and Jaren are that good, this team can win a playoff series against anyone. If they get that version of Ja and Jaren, you know, in four games, they're going to have a chance to beat anybody in the league. I just truly believe that. And what they have done is found the right formula. Like, Jaren's had a spectacular season. It's been incredible to watch. It's amazing he's not even... The buzz isn't there for most improved player because I think you could make an argument that he has taken such a big leap that he's deserving of being in that conversation. But, you know, we've seen that from him all year. We know he's a spectacular ISO scorer now. You trust him with the ball in his hands late in games. He's closing for you. He's coming up with big play after big play. He's impacting the game on both ends. But we hadn't had that in the mix with Ja all that much until recently, right? We had it in the Boston game, and that's why they won that Boston game, because they got great Ja and they got great Jaren, and it's another example of the fact that they can be competitive if those two guys play really well. But what they've done is they found the right formula, right? Go look at the shot charts. You know, Ja and Jaren are taking the most shots on the team. That's the way it's supposed to be, with this new offense or not. That's the way it's supposed to be, and they're putting them both in position to succeed by feeding off of their strengths. You've gotten more high pick and roll with Edie and Ja.
You
know, that's resulted in a better Ja. You're also, but you've done that without sacrificing opportunities for Jaren to play isolation basketball, and you can spread them out. So I think that, and the best thing about this too is when Desmond Bane comes back, I think it works really well to have Ja be the guy who can run the show by himself as the solo star as you space minutes. And then you can have, you know, I like the idea of keeping Jaren and Bane together a little bit more, because Jaren's going to see a lot of double teams. And if you keep a shooter on Jaren's side, you know, it'll open up more opportunities for Desmond Bane. So I really like where this team is at. And I think this team is going to be competitive in the playoffs. And yeah, there's a lot of teams in the West that got better, but you can't lose sight of the fact that the Grizzlies have been handling business most of this season. And this 10 out of 11 stretch, they've beaten up on the slop, and they've beaten good teams.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the complaints and the worries have faded momentarily for this team. But I think when you look at it big picture, even with that stretch where they struggled against good teams, you have to feel confident that if you get engaged, happy Ja Morant, and this version of Jaren, you're going to be in any single playoff series that you play. It doesn't matter if it's the Thunder. Like, I think they can be competitive with the Thunder if those two guys are scoring 25 a game.
I like what you said about them being intentional. It feels like it's not feels like we're watching it helping getting Ja going again, using Edie and that two-man game. It also looks like to me it's really helping Edie. Like, these last three games, we're seeing real growth there, and that you know. That process was always going to take time, but it seems like now with also needing to get Ja going, you're doing two things there. Obviously, it benefits the whole offense when, like you said, when Jaren and Ja are high. But now Edie is coming along too. What sort of in that two man game and its development? Sort of, what are you seeing? And do you think that by the time you're getting to the playoffs, when things slow down and your half-court offense becomes so much more important that it's a real weapon by that time.
I do think that can be a real weapon, yeah. You know what I was thinking about last night as I was watching the game? Because I remember us having a conversation, and I know I had the conversation with Chris too. You know, it was the old thing Kendrick Perkins used to say about trying to get the big man involved early so he's engaged the rest of the game.
Yep.
And so you throw it to him a couple times and you let him score. You know, I'm not even sure if that's exactly what gets Zach Edey going, because then we saw them try to do that in a few games and he played well early and then it kind of fizzled out.
Yep.
I think what matters more to Zach, honestly, is getting in the flow of the physical nature of the NBA. And when you allow him to set the screens and you get Ja going to the basket, this has happened no matter who Ja has played with his entire career, whether it was Jonas Valanciunas or Steven Adams. Like, if Ja goes to the rim and he misses, there's so many guys running to go contest, you know, it opens the door for offensive rebounds just naturally. That's why we thought Zach Edey would have a chance at winning Rookie of the Year, because we knew he was going to feast on those opportunities when Ja gets all the way to the basket and he misses. It's going to be an easy cleanup for Zach Edey. And as he does that, that is what I think gets him going. I don't know if it's necessarily just getting a post-up opportunity as much as it's getting a few
rebounds.
Getting
in that flow, yeah.
Like, get a few rebounds, take a few bumps. That seems to really be what fuels Zach Edey. And I don't think it's a coincidence that these last two games, they've really gone to more Ja pick and roll. Mm-hmm. And it's also resulted in a better Zach Edey. So those two obviously have a close relationship, and they've been, you know, Ja's coaching him at every minute of the game out there. And, Zach said the communication's been getting better and better. So I think, you know, that to me is where they need to, get going early in the game. Like, you've got to get that pick and roll going, because it doesn't just help Ja, it helps Zach.
100%.
Absolutely. Talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. You've got this series that you've done with Jaren. Obviously, you've spent a lot of time with him. You know, the idea was to sort of release this, ideally, you know, to line up with the All-Star announcement. Not only did that happen, but he's playing legitimately the best basketball of his career, especially offensively. 30 plus, obviously had 32 last night. The piece was a little bit about self-discovery, who he is off the court. It feels like he's also finding a new version of himself on the court. Just spending all that time with Jaren, is that kind of just what it feels like, you know, watching a guy grow into his role, who he is, and just kind of learning about, you know, what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to start, if we're going to tell the story of Jaren, and especially the most recent version of him, I mean, you want your franchise player to be somebody that's more than just a basketball player, right? And we have seen that from Jaren his entire career, from when he was drafted and he opened up that suit on draft night. And he's had all these different interests, and I think it adds to his personality, and it makes him a fun player to cheer for. And I think that can't go unnoticed, and it should be appreciated. I think what I learned from talking to Jaren, and I got to give Jaren some credit, like, Jaren actually approached me. Because he, you know, he's had this interest in videography, and he wanted to be able to sort of tell his own story. And he's like, he's looking at this as, you know, these are the most crazy years of my life. And one day when I'm not playing this game anymore, I want to go be able to look back at everything that I did and have my story told by me. And so that's part of the reason why he wanted to do this. And the series really takes you from stop to stop. I mean, the first piece is mostly just about why he's doing this, why he has all these different interests, you know, sort of how being busy keeps him going a little bit. And, you know, you would think with the fashion and the music and the travel and now the videography that all these things could be a distraction from the game. But I honestly think it brings him closer to basketball. And that's really what this series was about. Because, again, it's like what Ja said at the beginning of the season. A happy Ja is a scary Ja, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jaren almost needs these things to keep himself going and keep himself focused on what's most important. And I think that when the cameras are on, it puts a little bit more pressure on him to do more and work harder. Like, a lot of these videos are basketball, right? He had a Grizzlies assistant coach travel with him to Tokyo, to Europe, to Aspen, Colorado, to Los Angeles, Miami, New York City. Like, everywhere he went, Grizzlies assistant coach Eric Schmidt followed him. And everywhere they went, they had live bodies practicing against him this summer. And that was all about learning human nature, learning how to score. I think you're seeing it, you know, on the court with the way that he's handled the one-on-one defenders when they put him in ISO situations. He's been one of the best players in the league. So that's a big part of this. And then the other big part of it is really just Jaren discovering a lot about himself through this process. I think it says something that his focus necessarily is, look, he's very financially blessed and he understands that. He signed a $104 million contract in 2021. And the piece today, if you go read it, he talks a little bit about, you know, going to Japan was a little bit of a realization as he reflected on his full summer. This was like the last trip before he came back and went to camp, like that. His money is best spent on things that are going to make him happy and not necessarily material items, right? So if storytelling is really what he wants to do and that's a passion of his, and it's going to teach him things and he's going to learn and he's going to experience more as a result of it, whether that be going to bare knuckle fights or catching snakes in the Everglades, that is what really is going to make him grow as a person. And when you have that level of pursuit in self-expansion all the time, it translates to basketball. And we're seeing that. And it was just great. It was just great to interact with him. It was great to get to tell the stories. I think it offers a lot of behind the scenes, you know, just little anecdotes about certain things and a look at Jaren that we had not had quite yet. And so, you know, it's always been great to cover the other stuff outside of basketball in his career. And like I said, he's a super interesting person. But this in particular allowed me to both do that and allowed Jaren to be really introspective and think, you know, hard about, you know, what matters most to him. And so I think that, you know, to be able to encapsulate that, I feel very blessed that he wanted me to do that. So, yeah, you should definitely go read it.
Dude, it's awesome. You're going to win big awards for it, but I know you don't do it for that. The work you put into it's awesome. I learned, it's also educational. I was going to say, I learned today in part four of the four-part series that Japan, as you and Jaren taught me, is really the fashion leader, that the trends actually start there in Japan.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So he goes to these Fashion Week things, and the third one's all...
I figured Paris is the place you go.
Yeah, he said Paris, Milan, but Japan apparently is ahead because it's, you know, they've got like anime and art and all that everywhere. And so Jaren talked about just filming people on the streets. Like, you would think everybody's coming up to him with a camera. He was just taking his phone out and filming other
people. Yeah, he said there's no way he could see it all.
Because, you know, everybody has a style. And so they're so unique and they try so many different things that it starts trends that other
later on bigger
parts of the world pick up on.
Yeah.
So that was kind of why he decided to go to Japan in the first place. But when he left Japan, he talked about being so inspired just by especially the people. Because, you know, he brought up a Western media stereotype, you know, that about the suicide problems that exist in Japan. They're a high-income country, and they have one of the highest suicide rates in the world. And he talked about how that's super sad because he related to Japan so much because everybody that works, they don't work 9-to-5s. They work all day if they have to. You know, they do it with a smile on their face. He talked about walking around at midnight and, you know, people fixing buildings and streets like they have the most important job in the world and just being so happy to do it. And he was like, you know, something in my brain clicked and told me, this is the first time in my life I don't feel insane. Like, these people are viewing life in the same perspective that I've always had as a kid that grew up in America as an only child, which is to look at things in such high level of detail and ask yourself questions. How can I make this different? Or how can I be different? How can I stand out from everybody else? He said every single person in that country has their own style, and they feel like whatever they're doing is the most important thing in the world. And to some degree, it creates a culture where folks may not always feel good enough.
Sure.
And that's why he was so sad about it.
That you're not living. Is that why the rate's high? That's what I, because it sounds like y'all discussed
that's
why.
That's the stereotype. That's the stereotype.
The stress, you know, to get to that level and meet those expectations.
Correct. So Jaron just, he felt super inspired by going to Japan. Wow. He said, you know, I don't feel insane. I finally don't feel insane. That was the words he used. You know, it feels like everybody here, like, this is the norm and this is the way that I live. And so he talked about, you know, already wanting to go back and how much he loved it and how inspiring it was. And, you know, like I said, it really made him think about how he spends his money too, you know, as he came back from Japan, about what matters and what doesn't matter. And what matters is the things that he's passionate about and the jobs that he wants to have. And that's playing basketball, but also all of these other things that sort of keep him going in life. And, you know, he feels very blessed that he's able to hire a camera crew and, you know, be able to direct and instruct and also learn from some of the best people in the world. So it was really, really fun to hear those stories from there.
Absolutely. Talking to Drew Hill, joins us every Thursday here on the show. Covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphis. You got to get out to Japan, man. I mean, you're basically a celebrity over there. You gotta get out.
I would love to go to Japan. You hear that, Daily Memphian? I'm going to Japan.
I think you may have to negotiate that with Dunk Shoot.
Yeah, I could get, maybe.
You know, I mean, you gotta be able to meet the people, right, that you're working for.
Might have to take some Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, I mean, they'll help you out, man. I think they probably speak English over there. They're not like America, where we don't really do a good job of learning other languages. I think they, are a socialized and developed enough nation where you'll be able to, you know, speak English and everybody will
make my way
Yuki
around.
And Jaron over there.
Now, that's a trio.
Jaron said, so when Jaron went over there, he said he hit up Yuta, but it was during the Olympics.
Oh,
so
Yuta was not there. He tried to connect.
He didn't. I mean, he had no idea at the time that Yuki was going to be his teammate. So he wants to go back, and this time he wants to go with Yuki. So, and the other thing that's cool is, like,
that's when you go.
He'll text his agency, and his agency will just set up stuff with the NBA there. And if you go watch the videos, like, one of my favorite things about the whole series is that every time I write about something in particular that's in the videos, you can, as you're reading, click on the video and it will start and stop on the clip that I was writing about. So you click the video and, like, if you're writing about him underground at some store in Japan that the ceilings aren't even high enough for him to stand, click it and you can watch
it,
you know? So that was cool, but he wants to go back and he wants to go with Yuki. And I would encourage him to do that. I think that would be really fun. And Yuki's obviously been a blast to cover as well.
Around the NBA, Jimmy Butler was dealt to Golden State, and signed the extension. I guess there was some there was some reporting that he was not going to sign the extension. I guess he was left with no other option based on trade partners. Does that make Golden State better? Does it do anything? Does it move the needle? What do you make of that trade?
I'll tell you what it does first and foremost. It tells you that this I don't want to go to Memphis stuff was just BS from the beginning. If you were always looking at it as why is Memphis disrespected, that was not it. That was never it.
It was about the extension.
This was a deal. This was about the extension, right? That's what it was always about for Jimmy Butler.
The Grizz saw him as a rental.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted,
right.
You know.
I don't know if this makes Golden State much better than they were before. I mean, they were able to do it without giving up their top young talent. But, like, Kyle Anderson exiting wasn't a nothing. You know, they did have to give up some players and some. I mean, if you're Golden State, like, you're not really worried about the future because you know you're on the tail end of Steph Curry.
It's about Steph and trying to max.
So you just try to finish this out and then, you know, you worry about that when Steph is no longer on the team. But I don't know. No, it doesn't strike fear. It shouldn't strike fear into the Memphis Grizzlies that they've got a star backcourt. Now, what the Lakers have done is interesting. Like, I think the Lakers are pretty strong.
I do too. Real quick on Golden State, what would you think if they, just because Wendy mentioned it, that they might not be done and go get Vucevic from Chicago? Does it? How much does it move the needle then? There's certainly more. You know, that's a more of a threat inside and outside than Looney is. What do you think of Golden State if they make that move and Wendy ends up being right on?
I think it makes them a little bit better, but still not.
Yeah.
I mean,
because I'm with you. With you just Jimmy, it's not enough. Just Jimmy, it doesn't really do anything.
You would certainly not trade rosters with Golden State if you're Memphis, right? Like, you would still feel pretty good. Like, I just – maybe it makes them a little bit better, but I think that the Grizzlies are in a good spot. That doesn't strike fear.
I'm with you there.
Now
back to Lakers.
The Lakers stuff is a little
I love
different.
Getting the Charlotte big guy. He cut us up.
Yeah. I mean, there are defensive questions there for sure, but he's definitely very talented. And now you have three – like, it's the Lakers are going to be fascinating to me because LeBron's an awesome player, but he's also been in the league for so long. Like, his interest on the defensive side isn't quite what it once was this season. That's always been the knock on Luka, is that he's not a strong defensive player. Now you add Mark Williams, and that's probably his weakness.
Oh, it's his weakness.
His defense.
It is. Yeah.
So you've got some defensive holes that you're definitely going to have to fill
a lot
in Los Angeles. But who knows? You might be winning games 135 to 125. And if you can do that, then that's fine if you're Los Angeles. And I think that they will. They will win some high-scoring games because they have an awful lot of firepower. So we'll see what happens with them. But
they're interesting.
That's a little bit more scary to me than Golden State because just the experience there on that team.
What about Dallas is currently constructed? Are they, where would they be compared to those two teams for you with AD right now? We know no future. Nico, what are you doing? But right now, where's Dallas for you? Because some have got them, Stephen A. Smith including, way up there. It's one of the big contenders.
Yeah, I mean, with the Lively injury, that's obviously that hurts them. You do have really good bigs. You still have Kyrie Irving, but I don't know if Kyrie's. I mean, he's having a good season, but and it'll be interesting to see what. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does without Luka there and how effective.
Now he has to hold up. Yeah.
So I mean, Dallas is still a good team, and Anthony Davis is still a bad matchup for the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's what I'm saying. They're big.
But
still got Gafford, right?
Yeah, but
yeah,
it's Luka that has just absolutely crushed Memphis.
And made a couple of those guys more threats than they are. Gafford, Lively, both with the alleys and everything else. Now, Kyrie can still do that.
But not to Luka's level.
No. Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, you're in the hot box, right? That's what we're calling it.
A couple more hours, right?
Oh, you're talking about the studio.
Yeah, this is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about just.
Well, yeah, no, for a couple more hours, we're in here.
I didn't mean, yeah, and I see why Drew's eyes probably got to be. I wasn't asking you to stay a couple more.
Yeah.
I was just talking about trade. We got two different things there. I was talking about trade.
Yeah, I know the heat's getting to
you. You're talking about the room.
Lock in, hot box, Super Bowl's coming up.
I was just looking at the breaking news. I don't know if you saw this, Jason. Did you see? Virginia Hallis McCaskey has passed away at the age of 102.
That's a great life.
Hold on. Moment of silence for Virginia. Thank you.
Yeah. If she were in this hot box, she would have also passed. I mean, it would have happened here as well. Rest in peace.
Thank you
great
for that
life.
News, Drew.
I don't feel sad when somebody's 102 years old and dies.
Well,
I think that's an amazing, you know.
She lived. She
lived, 100%.
She saw one Bears Super Bowl.
She saw one back in 1945.
Well, and a lot of championships, didn't she, Drew? A lot of world championships, because she was around for those, too.
That's right.
She was around for the world titles as well.
Back then, when it was
four teams.
That's right.
Yes.
When it was the, they were smoking cigarettes on the sideline.
We got a lot of those.
Yeah. All right. The modern Super Bowl, right? Not a world title, but a modern Super Bowl is this Sunday. You're already ribbing me because I'm betting Kansas City, and you're gonna try to be sharp. You're gonna be trying to be sharp and bet the Eagles.
No, that's not the way that I was. I haven't done anything.
Gotcha. Okay.
I was just curious, and I just can't cheer for Kansas City. That's the thing, and I feel like that's gonna be a lot of the public, right?
Yeah,
like that's just the I just
don't
want to
be on there with Taylor.
It's yeah, like I mean they've had
know.
Their
wrong
they've
Taylor,
had
man.
Their day.
I can't root for KC.
But
I would not bet against them.
Jalen Carter.
Dude, he is the young game changer.
Yeah, the Bears made a
game
big mistake.
Yeah. I was just telling my dad that again this morning.
Yeah, you did make a mistake because
we got Darnell
he
Wright.
He was part of somebody dying. He was a part of that.
well.
So
yeah, but
no.
So you would still you would tell Philly you think Philly fans right now are talking about how big a mistake it was.
No, no, no. We're talking
he had character questions.
We know that Philly is a bad. He had character full of questions. Bad people. They boo Santa. That's, they throw things.
I respect the fact that Philly cares. Like I like good sports towns, and I consider Philadelphia to be a good sports town. And Kansas City's had their day. And so, look, there's a little roll tide factor in this too with Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. But like, I've got to.
You claim Jalen Hurts? That's interesting.
Two Tigers as well with Elliott and Gainwell.
Yeah, right. And it's so easy.
So I feel like
we should all be on the Philly side. Everybody in this room should right. be. Should I, be heart wise. Remember rooting.
Patrick said it was Mahomes a little boy exercise. Is Michael Jordan, bro. And it's like y'all trying to find reasons.
How is it now?
Y'all trying to find reasons to root for the Jazz.
Wouldn't bet against KC, but pulling for Philly.
Y'all can pull for Carl Stockton.
I'm just curious. Is your life still fun now that sports is just a math equation?
We've discussed it's not.
What else would it be?
He can't do it.
I mean, what else could it be? I mean, if I sit here and invest in, let's just say, the NFL football, right? What joy am I going to find there? I have to move on to something else. Okay, then I got to move on to college basketball, right? Well, haven't really found much joy up until 2-3 months ago. You know, so I'm glad that was found money, but didn't have really anything there. So I have to look around. I have to survey the landscape, and I got to figure out what I want this to be, right? If I'm going to do this every single day, it can no longer come from a place of true fandom. Now, the Grizzlies have been a lot of fun. They've put me through some turbulence the last couple of seasons, though, right? So I got to find something a little bit more consistent, something that's a little bit more readily available for me every single day, right? And that's where the probabilities and math come in. It's there for me every single day. Doesn't mean I'm going to win every day, but I have that option.
Was that your favorite subject? Do you have a math teacher?
No, I'm horrible at math. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
If I would have actually gotten interested in that piece of it back when I was 12 or 13 years old, you know, what I couldn't though. But if I did, like, I might be doing something like with quants, and you know, I might be working somewhere with data. Like, who knows how my life would have turned out? Instead, I'm sitting here from 11 to 2 in a hot ass box talking about trades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But
I think about that.
I like doing that. Look, I like I'm with Jaron. I'm a creative minded person.
You're his cameraman.
No.
Oh, you're
his
not
cameraman, his cameraman. His cameraman, interesting story, is like he came from Cuba and he like worked with like brands like Gucci, and he also used to work with Dwayne Wade.
Good grief.
And now Jaron hired him. And he's
does
like,
he live in
this
Memphis?
Guy's incredible. I think he had a house in L.A., which unfortunately may have been affected by the fires. But yeah, he spends a lot of time in Memphis.
Right, right.
Well, he's going to be able to hire about 10 times the crews when he gets this next contract.
Yes, he is. I mean, like, he's going to finish.
What are the chances of All-NBA, which change?
I think there's a good chance at the All-NBA, which is good news for the Grizzlies because they will be able to do a deal. Now here's a very interesting question. if the Mavericks aren't willing to give Luka Doncic a supermax, what player is going to be worth?
I agree with that totally. Now I do think Jaron would be.
I think the way that he represents the franchise, what he means to the city, all
now
of
the
that.
Durability.
Like, there's more beyond it than just even doing that. Like, he would be plenty deserving if he got it. But I'm just speaking generally across the league. Luka Doncic.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.